The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage at peteevans.com to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Susan, thank you so much for joining us once again. How are you, sister?
I'm so good. I just finished eating another salad with my Viagrette, the undressing dressing that we talked about on our last podcast together.
We got a lot of good feedback, actually, from the last encounter that we had. So thank you for that. People really resonate with your energy and the information. So we want to go a little deeper today, or change the direction, or wherever you want to go.
We're going to go in a new direction.
Possibly. I feel like just handing it over to you and seeing what you think is relevant at this particular point in time after the follow-up conversation that we had last time. Well, let me throw something out there for you. The intention behind this podcast is to share information that will invite people to take complete sovereignty over their own bodies, minds, and spirits, instead of relying on external forces to help guide them and manipulate them, so to speak, so that they're their own warriors on this journey. So I'd love to explore what that means for you in the work that you do, and perhaps how sexual relationships or relationships in general can, how does an individual take sovereignty in that space, because it's really delicate. It could be a delicate and I don't want to use the word manipulative, but I will, because there's so much that goes on in our subconscious minds from our upbringing and what we've seen from our mums, our dads, our media, our whatever it may be, that programs us into what a relationship may or may not be. So there we go. We're going deeper. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. One of my closest and dearest girlfriends is a sexual regenerative doctor. And she's given me 5 of the 6 O shots that I've had. And O shots are these injections into your clitoral structure that regenerate tissue, improve sensation, and help you. They also help with things like incontinence and healing scars from childbirth or from traumas, et cetera. And she had a woman's workshop this weekend. And I said, so after all is said and done, what was the big epiphany that you had about where women are and versus where they want to be? And she said, I think women are incredibly disconnected from their own sexuality, their own sensation, and they don't understand how their genitals work, how desire works, that they just almost feel like they're not in touch at all with their sexuality because it seems so far away for them. And then I was also recently on a summit called Sex Revolution with a woman from Belgium. And she said, why is it that women are so afraid to ask for what they want in bed? And I really think those are all kind of indicative of this disconnection we have with our physical self. And it comes from not being exposed to how our operating system works, what the difference is between the masculine being testosterone driven and the feminine being estrogen dominant rather than testosterone dominant, how that makes us different, you know, kind of like how women like to have sex versus how men like to have sex. And I'm talking in generalities here because I think we all have gender spectrum within us, and many of us identify as more masculine than feminine, no matter what equipment we have. So I always want to say those things with a caveat. But there are a couple of things that I've been really focused on lately in trying to help people have more pleasure and connection. Over the last 15 years, I've been doing a lot of pleasure techniques, orgasm skills in my publishing business. I run a publishing business and a supplement business. In the publishing business, I started out teaching people how to create more pleasure, how to co-create more ecstatic orgasmic pleasure through various orgasm techniques. And then I realized, oh, this isn't enough. People need bedroom communication skills. It's like the foundation of your sexual pleasure is not in the technique, it's in the communication. Just like the foundation of your arousal is not in the turn on, it begins in relaxation. It's almost like they're counterintuitive, you know? You think, oh, if I want to turn her on, I've got to, you know, spin the dials and push the buttons, when in fact, it's the opposite. I've got to hold her and make her feel safe so she can relax and her desire can flow. And then we take her up from there. So I just thought it was really interesting that the communication technique that I teach, which is called the sexual soulmate pact, an agreement between lovers, a communication agreement, which I can explain if you'd like me to, is really about understanding what your body is telling you. We have this innate body wisdom that is always there. It's always present, whether we're listening to it or not. And tapping into that can create a tremendous increase in the confidence we feel about our desire, the pleasure we're able to sustain and take in and hold and receive, as well as understanding what we want so that we can ask for it. And that to me is the gap that I'm, you know, they talk about the orgasm gap, bridging the orgasm gap, I like calling it crossing the gasm chasm. So many women struggle to achieve orgasm. And so many men try to push off orgasm because they haven't realized they can separate ejaculation and orgasm. They're too entirely separate systems. They don't work together. You don't have to ejaculate to have an orgasm. For any of us human beings, Homo sapiens, you know, we all have the same parts in different order. So I've been thinking a lot about that body wisdom and body image issues too, which also play a big part in what holds people back from fully receiving and living into their pleasure potential. Because they're so worried about what they look like or how they appear, or are they doing it right, that they're in a performance mode rather than in just the interplay between lovers, where everything falls away, time slows down, and you're co-creating that pleasure together. So those are some of the things that ran through my head as you were talking about what I'm seeing out there and, you know, how to go a little deeper into the issue of what really is my expertise, which is passionate lovemaking.
Wow, we've started. That was awesome. That was so good to start off with. Thing that came up for me is that the role model, you know, who are the role models for the human beings out there? You know, I mentioned before, we've got the media, you know, and we've got our parents or our grandparents. And I remember one thing my grandmother taught me. She was a lesbian back in the day. You know, she's passed away now, but she was a lesbian when there weren't many lesbians out and proud, so to speak, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago. And she said to me before she passed away, she goes, make love slowly.
Yeah.
And she actually said, she said, have as many as you can at a young age. Don't get in a relationship too soon, which was an interesting thing. I was like, okay, well, that's your experience. And I could see how we need to be very careful when we're giving advice to people. Even her advice was somewhat based off her own experiences and her own fears and insecurities and whatever they may be. And it brings us back to the role models. You know, who are the role models in relationships, in sex, in connection? Where does somebody look? Because we're not being taught it at school. And part of this whole podcast that I've created here is, I was originally going to call it the things that we don't learn, or the shit that we don't learn in school. that was going to be my byline, but I thought, no, it's a bit cheesy. But this is the crux of it. The most important things in our life, either not taught to us in our education system, and then usually not taught to us by our parents. And I'm generalizing here because they haven't been taught. So talk to me about this role model and education in what you teach, and who was yours?
Yeah, I'm going to do a tall poppy American thing and tell you that I am a role model for what is good sexuality. I've been with my husband for 30 years. He and I also have lovers. I couldn't be a sexpert if I was only with one person for 30 years. And I am 60 this year, and I am a sexy 60. A sexy 60 sexpert, because I also don't think you should be someone who teaches sexuality if you're not presenting yourself as whatever is your image of sexy for yourself. And that can take many, many, you know, one of the things I like about being in the sexuality world is that, you know, sexperts are models for what is possible. My particular model happens to be one that is primarily heterosexual monogamous, how to turn having sex into making love, expanded orgasmic pleasure and heart connection. I don't go as far as to say that I'm in the tantric lovemaking space, because I don't do a lot of invocation of prayer or ritual or things like that. What I do is much more practical advice, kind of like if your Jewish grandmother told you about sex, the Dr. Ruth, you know, the old Dr. Ruth type of thing, but hot. I think that's very important to walk your talk, to have a great sex life, to feel sexy at every age, to have good sexual health. These are all things that are tenets of my teachings that I've been doing for 15 years, starting out in orgasm skills and then adding on bedroom communication techniques and then moving into sexual health and wellness, ageless sexuality. Because I do believe that our sexual growth is the same, the other side of the same coin of our personal growth. If you have a personal growth mindset, and you're one of those people who's always learning new things and always trying to better yourself, you can do that in your sexuality. You can start out like I did, barely being able to have an orgasm, never orgasming from intercourse, learning how to do that, learning how to have G-spot awakening, learning how to be a female ejaculator. I've had an expanded orgasm practice for 15 years with my husband. He's become a multi-orgasmic man in the time that we've been together. He started out thinking that orgasm and ejaculation were one and the same, you know, two sides of the same coin, and they're not. They're two different coins. So just continuing to learn skills, navigating relationship when you do have other people that are part of your life. What does that look like? How does a monogamous couple open their relationship and have other lovers who are, you know, we're never going to leave each other, but people come into our lives and sometimes stay for a decade before they inevitably move on in some way to something new. So all of these things are different facets of being someone who could be trusted with a very important aspect of what is one of the most beautiful things about being human, about being a Homo sapien on this earth, is the pleasure of lovemaking, the pleasure of orgasm, the pleasure of deep interconnected intimacy. So what I love is that sex can keep getting better your whole life long. I like to call it getting on the upward pleasure spiral, where you keep learning things that make sex better and better and better all the time, instead of what you see happening to most people, which is that their sex life swirls down the drain.
What was your inspiration talking about the role models? Was it you?
Well, it was through, you know, they said, one of the phrases that I love is your greatest wound becomes your greatest gift. And my greatest wound was losing the intimate connection with my husband after a decade of being married. So close to 20 years ago, I realized that I was really avoiding my husband for sex, and that he had emotionally checked out because I had physically checked out, intimately checked out of our relationship. And on the surface, we lived this amazing, you know, we were Silicon Valley mover and shakers, living in a mansion overlooking Apple. It was before Facebook was even born. And, you know, we had this beautiful little girl, and we were gorgeous people, and everything was shiny and bright and new, except I didn't like having sex with him. I didn't like having intercourse with him because I couldn't have orgasms. And after a decade of having intercourse with someone where I wasn't coming, I didn't want to do it anymore. And he tried everything, and we could not come back together in that way. So we went to a marriage and family therapist, and the therapist said, "Hey, it's just what happens." And my husband was like, "We're not going back to her." And then we started taking sex workshops. And, you know, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we are really at the nexus of the human transformation movement and sacred sexuality. So there are a lot of workshops here: ecstatic loving, orgasmic meditation, the Human Awareness Institute. They're all from right here, right in this area. So we started taking workshops, and within a matter of months, I started having orgasms from intercourse. And at the same time, I was working through some sexual trauma that I had to let it go and release it so I could be present during sex instead of dissociating, which is what happens when you've had sexual trauma. And so many people have. So the combination of releasing that trauma, awakening my sexuality, and learning skills and really wanting my husband and feeling badly that things had gone down instead of up, we started getting really good in bed together. And it was at that point when I said, we were both in a career. He had just sold a company and I had been with a company that had just been acquired. And we took a year off and I said, hey, what do you think about starting a company together? Because we'd fallen in love with each other all over again, even more deeply than we'd fallen the first time. And he loved the idea. And so we started our company, Personal Life Media, 14 years ago, out of the outgrowth of our greatest wound being our loss of intimate connection because we didn't know what the heck we were doing. So my mentors were the people who taught me tantric lovemaking, expanded orgasm, female ejaculation, orgasmic meditation, male multiple orgasm. And I went on to create products with them and programs with them so that anybody anywhere in the world could have access to online, I like to call them home play instead of home study, online home play programs for singles and couples so that you could see what passionate lovemaking techniques look like. One of my most popular programs is called the Steamy Sex Ed Collection, and it's over 200 advanced heart-connected lovemaking techniques demonstrated by relatable couples who every time I watch it to this day, I'm like, oh, how come I never noticed that technique before? That looks fun. There's so many things that you can do with a human body that are so simple once you see them for the first time that you just didn't think of yourself. It's almost infinite, the amount of pleasure that can be created and co-created by lovers. So that's how I ended up having the mentors that I have, creating the programs that I have, having the skills that I have, and then solving the problems of people who write to me like I'm kind of like an advice columnist. We have somebody called Dear Abby here in America who has been a person who answered questions from readers. And that's kind of what I've done for people all over the world for, you know, going on 15 years. So I have a good sense of what people struggle with and where they are and where they might want to go. I want to say one thing. I just had this email from a guy. I think he slid into my DMs on Instagram or something. And he said, my wife had an affair in 2017 and I think she's having another one. What should I do? And my first question was, well, how do you feel about her having sex with somebody else? Not, oh my God, she's cheating on you. This is terrible. And he replied back. He said, actually, I have to admit, I find it kind of sexy that my wife wants more people than just me. And when I think about her having sex with another man, it kind of turns me on. Is that wrong? And I was like, see, it's the questions that you ask rather than playing the blame game or the shame game. Look, this guy's actually turned on by the fact that his wife has such a sexual appetite that he's not quite enough for her. And she's getting some more on the side. Like, you have to be open to the dynamics of reality, reality-based sexuality, not the prescribed way we think it should be.
Hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It helps put a lot of the jigsaw puzzle back or together for us to see the whole, because a few things that you mentioned there was the greatest growth that you get is by exploring your wounds. Mm-hmm. And it's a common theme throughout the guests that we have on here. I think it's a common theme for humanity, you know, where we get to look at our wounds and feel them, and we can decide to ignore them, throw a band-aid on them, and off we go. And chances are they'll probably fester and go deeper. So how common is this for the people that reach out to you, that they have these deep wounds? And why do you think that we have such wounds around this one topic, this very important topic? Like, what are the most important topics?
Yeah. I think that probably the deepest wound that's out there, though I would want in some ways to say maybe it's trauma and shame that's the deepest wound, I actually don't think it is. I actually think the deepest wound is unmet desire. Women who are nervous and they knock glasses of water over and they're jumpy men who are always a little bit angry or feeling like a victim. Husbands that can't figure out why their wife had sex with them 4 days ago or 4 weeks ago or 4 months ago, but doesn't want to do it every day. Why a woman feels incredibly guilty that she doesn't want her partner for sex more than she does. The loneliness and isolation of being single and not having a lover, or being in a relationship with someone whose desire is not matching yours, or whom you chose for different reasons than sexual chemistry and compatibility. Although I believe that chemistry can be co-created, and sexual pleasure can be incredible with anybody. You know, I don't think it's, oh, that's the person for me. I think it can be co-created. So I think unmet desire is really the biggest tragedy and misunderstanding of sexuality. If we were having all the sex we wanted, we'd probably be having everybody. If you got rid of the shame, the body image issues, the mismatched libido, the misunderstanding of how our bodies work, the lack of skill and education, the, you know, all of those things, if you could mitigate all of that, we'd all be just playing with each other's genitals every single day. It feels good. It's relaxing. It creates oxytocin. It's just nice to have orgasms. It's healthy for you. It's better than watching TV or someone else's agenda or worrying about this or that. But there's so many obstacles to getting to pleasure and receiving the pleasure and allowing yourself to sustain the sensation of pleasure and then riding that pleasure. You know, it's just so many barriers. So that's really what I try to do, is I try to come up with, okay, what are the, maybe, you know, the four or five simple things I can teach people? Because I like this notion of the little hinge that swings the big door. What's the simple little thing I can tell you that makes a profound impact on your sex life being better? That's what I'm always looking for, those things. Because nobody wants a big list of stuff they've got to do. They want to just have, like, give me the answer to the quiz. So that's really my sweet spot, is some of those little hinges.
I don't know. I'm going to ask you this because I'm fascinated by it. Because I had... I've lost his name here. He wrote Sex at Dawn, Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher Evans.
No, not Evans, something else.
Christopher Ryan.
Christopher Ryan, that's it.
Yeah, you had him on. Oh, I have to watch that.
Yeah, it was a...
I love him. That's a great book.
It was a couple of years ago, actually. And I'm fascinated by evolutionary history, but also different cultures. And I question for you, you've traveled. Who doesn't have these issues, or is it a human? Is it a collective human issue that we have around sex and sexuality? Like, who, the cultures or the time in history where it's been, we haven't had this stigma around this. Have you delved into that at all?
Well, it's funny because I was even thinking about, okay, well, maybe it's not happening at some of the orgy parties I've been to. But it's happening there too. You know, people are feeling like, oh, maybe no one's going to ask me to have sex, or, oh, I'm not as pretty as they are. Or, you know, like, I think it's just part of the the human condition to have ravenous desire.
Are we going through a transitional period here? The reason I ask this is, over the last year with the coronavirus and everything, it seems like there's an awakening happening with a lot of more people becoming more interested in politics, becoming more interested in how the human body or the virome works with viruses, and people are educating themselves more and more about these quite large topics. They're getting into the belly of the beast, into the wound, because we're seeing financial systems perhaps are corrupted. The government systems are really corrupted. The educational systems may need a lot of tweaking. The media
is.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.